We're reading, I will read several texts today. Let's start with Isaiah chapter 40, and then we'll come back to the text that we started last Sunday in Matthew chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 40, comfort. Comfort, my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem, and cry out unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned. Because she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. There is a voice of one that is crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked will be made straight and the rough places will be made plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And when we return to the Gospel of Matthew that we read on Sunday, Matthew writes, beginning with verse 18, the birth of Jesus Christ was this way. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit, and Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, wanted to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said in a dream, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take unto you Mary as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all of this was done so that it would be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin will be with child and will bring forth a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, because being interpreted, it means God with us. And Joseph was raised from his sleep. He did exactly as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took unto him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he named, or called his name, Jesus. Recently there was a survey done by the news media. And the questions that they asked so-called Christian and biblical scholars was, do you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? And to nobody's surprise, almost more than 90% of the so-called biblical Christian scholars said that they did not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We just read a text from the prophet Isaiah that concludes with the phrase, the mouth of God has spoken. When God spoke in the Old Testament, you remember the first time God spoke? First time we find God speaking. There's nobody there to hear God speaking except God himself. Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And later on in that chapter, as God creates everything with his word, God speaks the world into existence. God speaks and light appears. God speaks and everything is formed. And then God says, let us form man. Who created man? God created man. God speaks. And then God begins to speak to man. And God speaks to Adam. And then when Adam sins, Adam runs away from God, and God speaks to Adam, the voice of God. Last Sunday, we stopped and paid attention to the fact that God spoke to Abraham. And Abraham believed the voice of God. Later on, when the nation of Israel is ready to come out of Egypt, God speaks through Moses. They come to Mount Sinai. God is up on the hill in the mountain through the smoke and the fire. And God speaks. The mouth of God has spoken. The Bible you hold in your hands is God's word. God has spoken. And I don't really care what the news media says, and I don't care what so-called biblical scholars say, whether or not they believe. I believe this is God's word because God has transformed my life. How do you know that God has transformed your life? Is there a change in your life? One of the characteristics of a Christian life is an obedient life. A life that obeys the word of God when the mouth of God speaks. For us today, God does not speak through angels, as we find the angels appeared to Joseph, or to the shepherds, or to other people. To us, God speaks through his word. And how do you know that you're truly a child of God? Those of you that have been coming Friday nights with Serge and going through 1 John, what is the primary characteristic of a Christian life? It is obedience to the word of God. In everything we find, Joseph does exactly like the angel commands him to do. Repeatedly, we find that Joseph hears the voice of God through the angel speaking, and he obeys. In our text, we read, and Pastor just read from Luke, several times we find several texts there. One says that Joseph, he takes his engaged wife, who was pregnant with child, okay, but they had not yet been married. When the angel appears to Mary and he says that you will conceive of the Holy Spirit, Mary, what is her testimony? Her testimony is, how can this happen? And she's not thinking about the Messiah coming, supernatural birth. She's thinking just strictly physically. She says, how can this happen if I'm a virgin and I've never been with a man? I've never been with Joseph and I've never been with any other man. On a strictly human moral level, Mary says, this is impossible. How can this happen? Over and over in Scripture, we find Scripture teaches us about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And the world may not believe it, but for believers, for Christians, it is my personal opinion that to be saved, at some point in your Christian walk, you have to deal with this issue and with this question about who was Jesus Christ. Was he just a man born from Mary and a father, Joseph or somebody else, or was he truly who Scripture says, God made flesh. God became a God-man. The only God-man that ever lived. So the world may not believe this, but Scripture gives us the Word of God on this, and so you need to believe it. Now, when the gospel is presented to people that don't know Jesus Christ, oftentimes it is simply presented as our text says, he will be the Savior. He will be the Christ. He will save people from their sins. So on a strictly elementary level, when we hear the gospel, it can be believed without believing that Jesus was born of a virgin and that his conception was supernatural. But somewhere in your Christian life, as you grow up and as you begin to read Scripture, as you read Philippians, when Jesus leaves his glory in heaven and becomes a man, you have to come face to face with this issue of who was Jesus Christ? Was he man or was he God? And over, Scripture claims to be God's word, God's mouth speaking, claims that Jesus is God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we read that He capitalized. He, God the Father, made him, that is, his son, Jesus Christ. God the Father made he his son, who knew no sin, to become what? To become a sin sacrifice or an atonement for those of us that were sin. In Isaiah 53, the text we read at Easter time very often, God has laid our iniquities upon the Son. And Christmas is but the first day in the fulfillment of what God promised to Adam and Eve back in the garden when they sinned, when God said, your seed will come, your supernatural seed, the seed that is greater than and more powerful than Satan, than the snake, than the serpent, than the dragon, than this evil one, this tempter that causes men to live. This seed will come and he will crush the head of Satan. And so this is the promise of God being fulfilled. And Matthew, when he writes the gospel here in verse 23, quotes Isaiah. Now in the Old Testament Hebrew in Isaiah, it says, the virgin will conceive and bear a child. And many liberal scholars claim that the Hebrew word does not refer to a virgin, but simply refers to a young lady that is of the age to be married and is of the age that she can conceive and bear children. And the Hebrew may not be totally clear, although I believe it is clear, but the Greek New Testament specifically uses the word virgin, that is, a young girl that has never been with a man. And that is what Scripture teaches us. And Matthew is quoting the Old Testament as proof of what God the Holy Spirit has inspired him to write. And so several thousand years have come by, and believers have had an opportunity for 2,000 years to think about this. What do you believe? You see, if Jesus Christ was born from Joseph or from the seed of another man, he would be just a man. Romans teaches us that all of us, when we are born with the sin nature because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And if Jesus had come and been conceived through the seed of a man, he would have the sin nature of whoever his physical father was as far as his genes are concerned. But God creates a miracle. He intervenes. It is God's plan of salvation. And God creates Jesus Christ in the body of Mary, so that when he is born, he is God-man. He lives a perfect life, a sinless life, a holy life, and he goes to the cross on our behalf so that God could take our sins and put them upon this holy Son of his that voluntarily left the glory of heaven to come down to earth and bear our sins for us. In the Psalm, in the portion of Scripture we read from Isaiah, God, speaking to Israel, says to the prophet, "Comfort my people. Tell my people that their iniquities, their salvation has come. Pardon has been given to my people." And this is a great comfort to my people. Is it of comfort to you that God has put your sins upon Jesus Christ, that Jesus came? The result there is that the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Go back to Isaiah, look at that text. It's future. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. And when we read Matthew and Luke, we read that the glory of the Lord appeared to whom? To the shepherds. And it shined on them. Completed. It is finished. It is done. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. The world will see it. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. In the New Testament, it has been accomplished. And the glory of the Lord was revealed to the shepherds on the field. The result here, it says that he, Jesus, verse 21, Joseph gave him the name that the angel said to give. Jesus, Yeshua, the Savior, the Messiah. The one that was promised in the Old Testament. Emmanuel. That means God is with us. Jesus came and he lived among us. It is God with us. It is Yeshua, the one that came to save his people and to save us from our sins. And now we have become his people. May God bless his word. Amen.